So we're moving quickly into our teaching on comprehending burdens in prayer. And we had been having conversations around this. And I'm hoping that we are learning to respond to the burdens that we receive, or to the burdens that God puts on our hearts in prayer. We had gotten to see how, or what a prayer burden is. And then we had just had some conversations around the fact that these are very dear concerns to God's heart that He lays on our hearts. So we can pray out His will on the earth. So not many people actually will understand this, but it's true, you know, it's true. And then you find out people say, I've been thinking about this thing. That's what has happened. Or they go ahead to say, you know, I've been really having some sadness, and suddenly, you know, this unfortunate thing happened. Or, you know, this person used to come to my mind a lot of the times, but I didn't know, if I had known. So we must learn to be skillful at this. I always tell people, when it comes to issues of, for example, you losing someone and having a burden for it, God actually has nothing to lose. Yes, we lose. He doesn't have anything to lose, because to be in the flesh is to do His will. To be absent in the flesh is to be with Him. So we are the ones that are afraid of, like, you know, something negative happened. He's not afraid. He's God. He created all of us, and He gives us a channel where we can have eternal life. Once we receive eternal life, right, He's very fine. So in cases like this, one of the ways we can avert such happenings is by learning to respond. Right? It might not just be for negative situations, but I also said that burdens will come in when there are positive things to be prayed out. See, so there's something you're looking forward to happening, and because you have not prayed it out, it feels stuck. You know, it gets stuck. It feels like it's not really moving, and something has been, you know, holding it bound. We said with burdens, we're going to pray out God's will on the earth. We're going to pray out moves of the Spirit. We're going to pray out what God is doing. So a Spirit-giving burden is a very special mandate from the Lord. We said in our previous teaching that sometimes you may be the only one to whom the Spirit assigns this prayer burden to. Or perhaps, you know, there could be, you know, an added unity to the intercession being made by a number of others to whom God also gives the same prayer burden. It's just because many times we don't have time to interview the things that God tells us individually in our hearts. But there are certain times you see that some burdens are almost the same or similar. People just catch on burdens and they just begin to pray about something. So we've seen how through many history times, you know, people were saved, were blessed, protected, healed, great moves of the Spirit, outstanding answers to prayer, because someone was faithful to such a prayer burden. And many times you will see that sometimes some prayer burdens, at those exact times, somebody might have needed them. Either a relation, somebody that matters to you, someone that's close to you, you know, would have needed those interceptions in prayer. Yesterday we received a very similar circumstance where, you know, someone's grandmother fell off and she backtracked and she got to realize that it was that point in time where she had that burden. So many times as we learn to pick up on these burdens, we would pray out God's will concerning every situation. Now, what that means is that if God works so mightily at the exact time, someone is faithful to a prayer burden given by God. Many times that's what happens. If you see something happen, someone say, you know, I'm sure you all can be testimonies of that, especially those of you who have praying mothers. It's like you are not really praying, you see that, but you are supernaturally being helped in a certain way, especially those of you who know that your mothers pray for you a lot. You see that? Yeah, like your mothers pray for you. Yeah, I have people like that, and their mothers pray for, they know very well that even if they are not praying, their mothers are praying. You see that? So there's a supernatural hand of intercession, right? Or there's a supernatural hand of God that's moved to cause things to turn in your favor. And then when we don't learn to respond, we're just going to be shocked in eternity. What we should have prayed out as responding, as corresponding to God's plan for our lives, for our families, for moves of the Spirit that He wanted to do on the earth. So whenever we sense this inner sense of heaviness that settles on our hearts or that settles on our shoulders, you know, it's not despair, okay? It's not depression. It's not fear. But, you know, somehow, you know, there's just a pull at your heart and it draws you to your knees in prayer. We must understand what to do with this. What should I do with it? And I've been trying to help us see how important responding to these things is, or responding to these happenings are. So I told us that God wants us to co-labor with Him to see great things happen, lives change. And we do so by praying and responding to these burdens. We took an illustration on Nehemiah, who wakes up one day and his countenance has changed. And the king can see that his countenance has changed. And is asking Nehemiah, Nehemiah, what are you doing? Why is your countenance so dull? I'm sure he must have been praying all through the night. Because to have such supernatural promptings must be of God. You don't just wake up and feel. In fact, how many of you have gotten up one time and you felt like your village, there are no houses there, so you should go and build a house? That's what Nehemiah received. It was very supernatural that his village, there was no house. To an extent that it bothers him that his village, there is no walls or there's no house. Let's put it like a house. Then he says, no, I have to leave my comfort zone, move into a place and do something for my people. For my father's legacies have fallen. All the walls have crashed down. So often these burdens settle in on our hearts, either by impressions or by consistent thoughts. Sometimes in prayer, other times while we go about our normal duties. Yes, while we go about our normal duties, we could just sense that heaviness. We could also sense that, you know, impression, those thoughts that come to us. Sometimes pictures that crop up our minds at several points in time. So it just comes to us. Again, it just comes to us. It comes to us. So I'm teaching you these things so that you learn to respond. So sometimes these burdens will come to us, and there are also other times we invite these burdens by prayer. So while some burdens come at you, there are other burdens that are picked up when you pray. It's like when you get into prayer, then you start to pick up certain burdens. And it's not every time, like I said, you will know the reason why you are praying in that manner. Today I'm going to explain to you how the burden practically shows itself in prayer. It's not every time. But either of the ways, whether we pick up on burdens in prayer or burdens are sent to our hearts when we are not even praying, when we are going about our normal duties, we must learn to respond to this great, you know, magnificent help that God gives us. So we're going to give ourselves to prayer. And we're going to learn how to respond to these burdens in the place of prayer. Let me show you a typical example in 1 Samuel 15 verse 11. You know, this was a story where Samuel was that prophet. And then, you know, the people insist, you know, people were theocratic. They were being ruled by God. God. So they were being ruled by God. And the people get up and say, no, we want a king, want a king. Then, you know, Samuel is chosen as a king. Then later on, Saul does something. Again, Saul is the king, Samuel is the prophet. So Saul is doing something, and God finally rejects Saul. Then Samuel does not understand why. You know, Samuel is a soft-hearted prophet. You know, he's trying to say, Lord, you know, Saul was the one you chose. Saul was that guy who was, you know, shoulder tall. Saul was that nice guy, broad shoulders. He looked like the best king that would ever be chosen. And here is God saying that, no, I have rejected him. So he says, I greatly reject that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. Look what happened to Samuel. He got a bedding here, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. He cried out to the Lord at all night. Now, beddings, many times. You see what it means to carry a bedding? It's not sweet to carry a bedding. It's not like, hey, I'm carrying a bedding, you know, hey, there's a bedding here. No, there's actually a bedding. There's something that you carry on your heart. There's a heaviness that can only be offloaded by prayer. So Samuel was grieved. You see, there are certain times you'll be grieved to pray out something that God wants to do on the earth. There are certain times you'll be grieved. There's almost like a darkness that envelops your soul. You'll be grieved. You'll be grieved to see men's life being, you know, just flushed down the drain. You'll be grieved. And when you listen to the radio and you listen to the TV and you listen to the things that are happening, you just pick up a bedding. You'll be grieved about something. I remember I caught on a bedding for a certain generation when I got to Kasoa one time and I heard Shatawale was coming around and the whole city was alive. It was around 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and the whole city was alive as though it was now 8 o'clock. And when I got there, you know, I literally felt my heart just break like God. Lord. So I caught on a burden. So there's a grief that comes with it. There's something that moves you to pray. There's something that pushes you to pray. Yes. Sometimes you know what it is. Other times you will not know what it is. That's why I tell you that whenever you wake up and you say, I just woke up on the wrong side of my bed. I just woke up on the... No, that's a grief. It's a spiritual emotion that has an effect on your natural soul. I mean, your natural showing out. So your soul that's showing outside, because we can see, you know, evidences of the soul. So it's just seen and it's like, my God. Remember Nehemiah? The king could see it. Something has to be wrong. Then he cried out. Then he cried out. Then he cried out. These will be times where you will just get on in and you will begin to travail. Now, some burdens are more intensified than others, depending on the urgency of the situation. There are some you could just, you know, just pray it out a few minutes and then you're going to be fine. Others also, it will come with lots of tears and lots of praying. So Samuel has gotten to know that Saul has been rejected. He gets in there, he's grieved. He cries to the people. Now, Samuel was an enduring, persistent servant of God. He was always busy doing God's will, praying for the people, ministering to the people. And, you know, he was almost like God's right-hand man, right? Because God will speak to him, and then he speaks to the people. And then the people can say, okay, the Lord has said to his prophet Samuel, the word prophet is mouthpiece, so one or spokesperson. That's what it literally means. So God's going to be speaking through to Samuel, and Samuel's going to be speaking through to the people. So imagine when God said he was grieved, and God had regretted that the people had turned their back away from him. I believe that Samuel caught on God's bedding. It's like that. I regret this. So Samuel is mirroring out the exact heart of God in that situation. It grieved him. He cried. He probably had more of the mind and heart of God than any other person in the earth. He was no doubt sharing a burden and a concern of God. That's how to pray out burdens. I can tell you, it's not anything that God actually like endorses. There are some things he would have wanted to do something about it, but he can't. Because legally, he's not supposed to, except we invite him into affairs. He can't operate. So he'll be standing there. The angels will be standing there. They'll be watching like this. But if a man would draw his knees to prayer, then we can see God's mighty hand move. So Samuel is mirroring out God's heart. He's grieved. He's crying. He was sharing in the beddings and in the concerns of God. For God had told him that he had regretted making Saul king. So we can't know what exactly someone prayed about. But at least we can at least speculate that while he waited quietly before the Lord, God shared with him his regret and sorrow. And then Samuel in 10 expressed his regret back to God while crying out to God for answers. So, you know, it carries with it a certain kind of a sorrow. Again, depending on the urgency that it comes with. And we must learn to respond. Learn to catch a bedding in prayer. Or learn to respond to beddings as they come to you as you pray. You must learn to. I remember a couple of years back, there was this person I used to disciple. And she just got up one day and she was just sharing some things, doing some things here and there. And I knew the call of God was on her life. I knew like my name that the call of God was on her life. So I remember just praying one time for everyone. And her name just came to my mind. My God, and that broke me. So I went on my knees and I prayed in tears. I prayed in tears. Almost like I started even gasping for it. I said, Lord, this one will not lose this one. And you know what? A few days time, she became very normal. Today, she's serving the Lord. Actively. But I just couldn't think of the fact that we were going to lose someone like that to the devil. So there are burdens like that. Knowingly, unknowingly, sometimes you know exactly what you are praying about. Sometimes you would not also know what you are praying about. But there are burdens to catch. Burdens to catch. Burdens to respond to. I pray that you're responding to burdens in Jesus' name. And you become skillful at this. Every time you can almost pick up on something that the Lord wants to pray out through you. And you get on and you pray. You see, there are burdens that the Lord will lay upon you. There are burdens also that you will get to realize. Because God is putting them also on your side. Like you look at things and you say, no, I think I should pray about this. That's also catching a burden. It might not always be very spectacular where it's very heavy. Sometimes you just see it and you realize, nah, this is something I need to respond to. Sometimes you also don't know what you are praying about. But you know there is need for prayer. You just know that you know that there is need for prayer. So learn to respond to these burdens. Learn to respond to them. In Luke chapter 2, I'll like us reading from somewhere around verse 34. We'll see Simeon, and then we'll also see the prophetess Anna, right? And Simeon, Luke chapter 2, verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36, and there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, And she lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's about 84 years. Now, this is what Hannah was doing. Anna departed not from the temple. She never left the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. Now, that's a heavy burden, quite a heavy burden. It's not even quite, it's a heavy burden. Because see, she was just in the temple. And she prayed out God's plan concerning the coming Messiah, who happened to be Jesus. Simeon had gotten to see the Messiah. And in verse 30, he says that, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So that was Simeon's confession. But Anna, was the one that got into praying out also God's agenda. You know, there are some Annas that should rise up today and say, Lord, what are you doing on the earth? We are just ready. We're ready to pray it out. We are ready to see what you want to see on the earth happen. Those are Annas. They are prophetesses. You see, in this prophetess, we didn't see her calling a name. There are different kinds of prophets. They are prophets who have a grace to install kings and queens. We saw that in the Old Testament. There were also prophets who never installed kings and queens, but they wrote a lot of books. So their writings were very clear. Yeah. They wrote a lot concerning, the coming of the Messiah, and they spoke also concerning the coming of the Messiah. Yes. There are also prophets who never wrote, who never installed kings and queens, but they just went around preaching. They didn't have any miracle. Theirs were to be preaching. In fact, John the Baptist was known as the greatest prophet of all time. He never called anybody's name or he never mentioned anybody's name. He was moving around and preaching. And Bible calls him the greatest of all time. Yes. They are prophetic teachers. They will not say, I see in the realm of the spirit, this is what's happening. Your name is this and I see God doing this. And they don't. They just come in and they come to teach. And the teaching is able to solve situations that are in the place. Yes. It's very supernatural. Yeah, just able to solve situations. Yes. Ever since I used to pray that God, make me, I'm a prophet. But now I don't pray like that. I pray, prophet and teacher. Because I'm realizing that, I've given people prophetic words. But if there were any inputs I received, reports I received, it's from the teaching ministry. Yes. It's from the teaching ministry. It's like I receive more reports from the teaching ministry than anything that I think I'm doing. Not even the miracle ministry. From the teaching ministry. Yes, from the teaching ministry. I've received people telling me, the teacher. And I'm thinking, they don't see that I prophesy too. But that's the grace of God. Yeah, so I'm now becoming more conscientized about the teaching ministry, because it looks like that is also working, and it looks like there are more lives being changed by that. Yes. And I can't tell you the number of people that keep telling me, my God, the teachings are always very timely. I can't tell, that one I've lost count. I can't tell you how many times people tell me that. I now get tired of hearing your teachings were very timely. God bless you. It came in when I can't tell how many times. Yeah, so I'm sometimes thinking, or maybe, I should pay more attention to it. Because that is working. And people are getting better through the teachings. Yes. 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 In the last days, The mountain of the hill of the Lord shall be exalted above every other hill and mountain. Yes. And nations shall troop into it. And they shall say, let us go into the house of Jacob and let us hear. Yes. Yes. They would teach us their ways. Yes. Teach us his ways. It means that the end time church's agenda, it will be seen in teachings. He will teach us the ways of God. We shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yes. Sounds of prophecy. I will not stop. I'll continue prophesying details. I'll be doing that. But I know very well that the real gem is in the teaching. Yeah, I know that very well. Because I started prophesying, but I saw that the teaching is bringing more, changing more. So it means I'll teach more. Yes. So Prophetess Anna never, said something. Now, you need to listen to my other teachings to, get a real balance of what I'm communicating. So that you don't say the prophet says that we shouldn't flow in specifics. No, that's not what I'm saying. We just finished flowing in specifics a few Fridays ago. The testimonies that are coming are even amazing. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that here. I'm just trying to place in the balance so we can see that Prophetess Anna, hers was that she was in the temple. Now, that's an intercessory ministry. Yeah, it's an intercessory ministry. So some of you should pick some things. Please pray for me. Eh? When you pray for me. Just pick something. Say, Pastor's teaching ministry, Pastor's prophetic ministry, Pastor's miracle ministry, Pastor's evangelist. We're praying. And you just put that on your calendars. Pray for creative miracle. Just pick that on your heart for me. Do that for me. Pray for other people. But I'm soliciting for prayers. That was Anna. And then she's a widow. She's a widow. She doesn't have a husband. She can't go and stay with her husband for 2 weeks. Her husband is dead. She's in the temple. And she's praying. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. What a life. What a bedding. These are some of the burdens that last for several years. They last for several years. They last for several years. So you're going to learn to respond to prayer burdens every single time. Some of them you catch them yourself. Some of them it will come to you. Some of them you will not know why, but you need to respond to them. I see you carrying a prayer burden in Jesus' name. Now let me just go quickly. I think we'll finish up this teaching today. How to carry a prayer burden. How to carry a prayer burden. Number one, give as immediate attention as possible to the burden. Don't postpone burdens. Somebody's life could depend on your response to prayer. A situation could be highly dependent on it. So give as immediate attention as possible to the burden. Starting prayer burdens are God's SOS calls for your help. So God is calling out to you. There's somebody that needs to, please, I don't want this thing to happen. Who is there to pray? May God not find you busy when he wants you to carry a burden in prayer. Me too, in Jesus' name. If at all possible, it's very possible, interrupt what you are doing and pray at once for the need God places upon you. These things I'm teaching you, they are very vital for us as a people. So give it immediate attention. Respond to praying. Some of you, a prayer burden is as little as, hey, when did you pray? It will be coming to your mind. It just comes to your mind. Hey, when did you pray? Or you tend to say, hey, it's a really long time I've really prayed. I've not really prayed. Yeah. comes to you like that, that's a burden. And you despise it and it comes to you again. When are you praying? Or it's a long time I've really prayed, though. That's how it comes to you. Yeah. When he wants to draw you into an all-night prayer, you just be there, sir, and you think, hey, if I prayed all night, it will help. Oh. You think you are the one doing it yourself, but you're not the one. He's actually placing out and inviting you into a place of prayer. If I prayed all night today to help, let me just pray today all night. Hey, when was the last time I prayed all night on my own? If I pray today, it will help. Oh. It's a long time I prayed, Or sometimes it occurs to you, like, extend your prayer times. Maybe you pray an hour every day or 45, an hour every day. It will just come to the hour. Today, pray 2 hours. You think you are the one actually putting yourself there. You will not know that it's the Spirit of God inviting out a bedding for you to pray and to respond to, that he will be able to deal with in those number of hours. It's a long time I pray, though. Oh, today just pray 3 hours. You just try and pray 3 hours. Hey, Pascal, pray 3 hours. Oh, Pascal, pray 1 hour. Oh, Pascal, pray 2 hours. Oh, Pascal, pray 30 minutes. Today, don't pray 20 minutes. Today, don't pray 15 minutes. You think you're having a deliberation with yourself, but actually, God's Spirit is the one inviting you to pray. Yeah. You'll be sleeping, then you wake up. The first thing that comes to your mind is prayer, but you sleep again. The first thing that comes to your mind is prayer. Yeah, you be sleeping inside and you wake up. Or some of you be sleeping inside and it's like sleep is suddenly taken away of you. Like you can't sleep again. That's not the time to start pressing your phone, go back to reading novels, funny stories in the dark around 2 o'clock that you've woken up. You're going to read funny stories, you watch TikTok to 2 to 4:30, 5 o'clock, you are feeling sleepy again. That was an invitation to respond to prayer. Yeah, an invitation to respond to prayer. Number two, concentrate primarily on this one bedding. Right? If it's possible, get alone where you will not be interrupted in your intercessions and give it time to pray. If the prayer bedding continues through to meal time, like the time we are going to eat, add fasting to your prayer. If the bedding is there, add fasting to it. And you know, sometimes when you free your mind and you are going to pray, you are responding to it, and you see that you start remembering some important things that you should do. Who has realized that? That's the time you realize an important person that you said you call, you didn't call. You don't know. You know, those times, let me tell you what to do. Just jot them down. If you have a pen and a paper close to you, just jot them down. That, oh, I was supposed to do this. Call this, you didn't call. Call that, you didn't call. This is very important, you didn't do. Because the Spirit of God has a very, very supernatural way of leading us in all things. So jot them down, put it aside, and get back to praying. Do you understand? So jot it down, put it aside, and then get back to prayer. When you finish praying, you can come and deal with those important things that you said you will do, that you never did. There are some things you said you will do. You will call, you will speak to, you will check up on this. Oh, you buy this, you go to get this. But you didn't do it. But it's very important. I'm talking about very important ones. Jot them down. But don't get interrupted in your prayer. Number three, hold on in prayer until God lifts the bedding. Now, hold on in prayer until God lifts the bedding. Now, if you cannot give sufficient time to praying about the bedding, okay, pray as much as you can, and then resume your prayer concerning it as soon as you are free, or as soon as you can free yourself from other concentrated activities. Now, it means that if it's a prayer bedding that God has increasingly placed on you for a period of time, seize every opportunity to pray additionally for this bedding. seize every opportunity to pray additionally, whether for a matter of minutes or if possible a period of hours. Just seize every opportunity to pray about it. And if the burning continues for a period of days or longer, you know, there will be intervening periods or hours where God will let you pray them out while you carry out your other duties. You'll be praying it out like that till the burning lifts. And many times He will restore those burdens to you when you are you know, He's also that intelligent. So He has a way of playing it through. You know. Yeah, He has a way of playing it through. And many times too, you can pray about a burden if you are in a place where you can't stop what you are doing. You can start praying about it at wherever you find yourself. Just pray about it under your breath. You know, but keep it locked on. Somebody is catching on some burdens in prayer. Learn to respond at any time. Be available to pray. I said, eat prayer, drink prayer. What do you call it? Smell prayer. Yes. Any least time you get, you pray. Any least time you get, you pray. Be open for beddings. Be open for beddings. Be open to catch on prayer beddings and give yourself to praying in the Spirit. And as we do this, we will see amazing things happen in our lives. Amazing things happen in our lives. We'll have testimonies that will make our jaws just go drop down. Oh, really? God is really good. You'll be soaring above every situation. Imagine everybody's responding to a burden in prayer. You will have your needs met supernaturally. Have your bills paid supernaturally. You'll have the heaviest stone rolled off supernaturally. Because we are people that know how to respond to burdens. Sometimes it will come in deep sighs, deep emotions, deep tears, deep wailings, deep cries. But we're not ashamed. We're people that are going to be instruments of God's use on the earth. So we trust God very much for what He's going to be doing in our lives. And I believe strongly that as we respond to burdens, our lives, our ministries, our families are never going to be the same again. Father, we thank You for tonight. And thank You, Lord Jesus, that we're responding to burdens. We're responding to burdens in prayer. And we're praying out Your plan of starting any situation, any issue. Issues concerning what You're doing on the earth, concerning family, concerning relations, concerning friends. We're going to be skilled at responding. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.